Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo coming to you live, the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. The road to New Orleans with Boomer and Geo is presented by Helix Wireless, connecting everything everywhere. Don't forget, we'll have our picks in the final segment of the show. So I've been betting against us. I'm sure you're making some dough, but it was hard to find five interesting games to pick this week, because there's just the slate is not great, but we will give that to you, and maybe one of those teams will be on that road to New Orleans. All right, so we talked yesterday. Tom Izzo, our digital maven, he went to the game on the other night. Why can't I remember the day? Wednesday, and Yankees-Dodgers, Game 5 of the World Series, and he said that they put Fat Joe up on the board and showed him in his seats, and then also did like a Fat Joe video. And once everybody saw that, Sean Morash, amongst other Yankee fans in the building that he was around, were like, oh my God, it's the Fat Joe curse. The Fat Joe, we're going to lose this game now because of that horrible Fat Joe performance before game three. So Joe Kelly, who's on the Dodgers, he's celebrating on the field. Now, it's one thing for Tom Izzo, conspiracy theorist, digital guy, Tom Izzo, or Sean Morash, you know, calzone with legs. Like these guys to come up with these things, right? But for a opposing player on the winning team to talk about it in the way that you're going to hear him talk about it, to me, was unbelievable.
When we were down 5-0, they put Fat Joe up on the board. I was like, oh, it's an easy dub now. You know, Fat Joe's the curse. And, you know, they started kicking the ball around and playing Yankee,
did they
Yankee
defense. I didn't even notice. Did they
play, oh, he was on the Jumbotron.
Right before the fifth.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, he was on Jumbotron. Yeah. And I looked over at Honeywell and I said, the Fat Joe curse watch. And we started chipping away. bad play. And, you know, end up getting Dodgers, second one with the Dodgers. And
I mean, isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah, but he also says, like, they started playing Yankee baseball.
They said Yankee defense. He goes, they start kicking the ball around and playing Yankee defense.
Yes. Wow! So, you know, and obviously, you know, we talked about it incessantly here for months and months and months that somewhere along the line I was going to end up catching up with them. Their lack of fundamentals in the overall game of baseball, not just in the batter's box, swinging at bad pitches or running the bases or fielding the ball or not fielding your position. You could probably look at 10 different instances just in these five games alone where it cost the Yankees dearly.
Yeah, and I saw that video because KFC Barstool Kevin Clancy had it up on his X account. Kevin joins us right now. What's up, man? How you been?
Oh, I'm doing lovely, boys. I am doing fabulous. It's no better time of year than Yankee elimination time. I can set my watch to it. It's what, 23 out of 24 years now. It's the greatest dynasty in all of sports.
Yeah, and this year definitely activated you back to some of those emotions that you had when you were younger, all the way back, same with me, like the 2000 World Series and how much that hurt and all of this. So you really, really reveled in this Game 5 meltdown, didn't you?
I did, but after seeing not only that Joe Kelly video, but Joel Sherman of the Post put up an article saying that the Dodgers, like, relished the opportunity to play the Yankees because they knew how bad of a team they were. And so I think today, right now, I'm going to have to announce to New York City, I am officially retiring as a Yankee hater because I think it is officially beneath me as a person. Because when the good teams in the league, Gio and Boomer, when they are, like, craving the opportunity to play the Yankees to win the World Series because they know it's going to be a cakewalk, there's no fun in it anymore. It used to be a dynasty. It used to be we were bad, they were good, and so we had to fear them, and now there's just no reason to anymore, guys.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I mean, it's really, and I never expected the Yankees to win this series. I did pick the Dodgers in six, but it's funny it's funny that the Dodgers were saying that. Like, I mean, that is, you know, there's one thing though that I know that the Mets weren't better than the Dodgers, and I know that they weren't going to beat them, and you tip the cap, they're the better team. But doesn't it make you think though that if the Mets got into the World Series, it would have beaten the Yankees?
100%. As much as I was rooting for the sweep initially, I completely flipped because I was like, wait a minute. If Pete's a little less streaky, if Viento stays hot, if Manaea doesn't hit a wall, all these ifs, right? Of course. But if we made it, we would have rolled in five games too.
Yeah.
I mean, they're just not a good, like, listen, they have enough firepower to make up for their mistakes. But when you play a good team, they'll lose 100 times out of 100. They did not play a good team until the World Series, and when they did, they got rolled because they don't do anything other than sit around and wait for a home run.
Yeah, you know what? You're right about that, because that's been one of the criticisms I've been saying about the Yankees in this Aaron Judge era, is that they every time they run into a team that's better than them, whether it be the Astros, the Red Sox that one year, the Rays, obviously the Dodgers in this series, they lose, whereas... Like the Mets, like I'm enough of a baseball observer to know that the Phillies were a better team than the Mets this year. They just were better in the regular season, but the Mets were hotter at that time, and there was this magic run. The Mets beat the better team in that series. When the Yankees run into that better team, they never beat them.
Sometimes, you know, there are teams who rise to the occasion, and then there are teams that just fold. And, you know, the Yankees are one of those teams. They're just not what they used to be. And after, you know, almost 40 years of hating, and, you know, starting off, it was a hard road, and we all had to band together and stay tight. But now, like 23 out of 24 years, it just feels, it's like somebody said, it's like there's no more fun in hating on the Cowboys, right, Boomer? It's just like, whatever. They're at this point, they just are what they are. And now, especially with the Mets moving into the Cohen era, I think it's time we all just move on.
Yeah, this is Kevin Clancy, KFC from Barstool Sports, that we're talking to. You know, coming through the ALDS, the ALCS, and winning those two series against Kansas City and Cleveland, one of the things Gio and I were talking about were, you know, the Dodgers have got to work on their rundown plays because the Yankees are going to run themselves into outs. The Yankees are going to give up outs. And, you know, and it's interesting because after the game was over the other night, to a man, every one of the Yankees basically said, if you give a team like the Dodgers extra outs, they are going to capitalize on those situations, which is exactly what the hell happened in this series. And I thought the series was lost when Aaron Boone put the ball into Nestor Cortez's hands in the bottom 100%. Of the 10th inning in game one.
That was crazy. There was so many crazy moves from Boone there. You know what one of the craziest things was? When Gerrit Cole was clearly flustered, like red face, sweating, looked like an Irishman at the bar late night. Like, send them out there, talk to him, calm him down, do something to stop the bleeding. Aaron Boone did nothing but make bad mistakes, and they did it in the DS and the CS. They were just playing inferior teams where you can make up for those mistakes with a big soda run. Or, you know, Aaron Judge can sleepwalk his way through because you basically played the AL Central. But when you play these real teams, when you play a real baseball team, one mistake, let alone 1,000, is going to kill you every single time. And it's just their brand of baseball. It's like Joe Kelly said, it's Yankees baseball now. So at what point is it like, it'll be next year and the year after until they make some sort of wholesale changes? I bet the guys on the Yankees, half the Yankees don't even know about the metrics those Dodgers are talking about.
Yeah, you'd make a very good point by saying that, but I will say this, that after the you know, the Judge drop, the Volpe error, what did Gerrit Cole do? He buckled up, man, and he basically got two strikeouts and got a ball hit the first base. I mean, he
and
did
then he
exactly
made the biggest mistake of the game.
Yeah, I know that, but what I'm saying is that I don't think Aaron Boone had to go out there and talk to him. In other words, I think that Gerrit Cole actually bowed up and said, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to get these guys out." He got those two strikeouts, and then that weakly hit ball to first base, and then he makes the mistake. Yes, no question about it. But
hey,
I don't necessarily
maybe,
know that
maybe
Boone
this,
needed
hey,
to
Boomer,
be out
listen.
There.
maybe you just go out there, you calm him down, you say, hey, remember, any ball hit to the right side, cover first. I don't know. Maybe, yeah. maybe that's what I would have done. I don't know. I would have said this. Hey, if Mookie Betts, one of the fastest guys in baseball, hits a ball down the right side, don't just point at first base. Run over to it.
Hey, why didn't
I don't know. That's just me.
Why didn't you go into the cave with the Yankee fans when they were on the brink of elimination when Francesa was in there? I thought you would have relished that opportunity.
I thought about it. I did. And you know, me from like 5 or 10 years ago, if you told me that there was a chance that I could sit down and watch a ball game with Francesa and I passed on it, I would say you're crazy. As much as I hate the Yankees, I don't go to Yankee Stadium. I don't go to Billy's. I don't go to stands. I don't go on their territory. I hate from afar. I laugh in their face from a distance. I don't like when they come into our building. I don't want to go into theirs. I also didn't want to be a part of the moment in case they won that game. But even afterwards, when I got to give a shout out to my guy Meek, Phil, and Jenks, they were popping champagne. And Francesca said, "Well, we got some Dodgers fans here. Now the Dodgers fans all of a sudden." And I don't want to be that guy. I'm a Yankee hater. I'm not rooting for another team. It's not my game. But I certainly will laugh and relish in your face. All of this collapse. I this is it for me. I'm sending it off. Put the jersey in the Raptors. This is my last time. And I thank you guys for the time, all right?
Yeah, one last thing. During the visual of Francesa and Frank sitting in that front row of that cave together.
Oh, what a moment. I mean, what a moment, man. When Mike put his Diet Coke down on the armrest and it slid off and they both tried to grab it. Oh, it was amazing. It was just pure theater.
Those two were separated at birth and everything worked out for the one guy and nothing worked out for the other guy.
You know? Now that's a movie I would watch. Somebody write a screenplay.
Right.
Frank the Tank and Mike Francesa separated at birth and come back together. Oh my God.
And you got Mike
brilliant.
With his like $50,000 teeth and then there's Frank using his teeth to chew on his shirt. Amazing. All right, Kevin.
I love it.
Take care, man.
All right. Have a good one, boys.
You
all
too.
Right,
see you, Kevin.
That's Kevin KFC.
I didn't realize he hated the Yankees that much.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
And he's right up your alley.
Yes. Kindred spirits.
Yes.
Yeah, no, he was all about the whole crack committee and YE Day and all that stuff growing up listening to the radio station. So he was inspired by that. He did a YE Day post yesterday on his Instagram that has hundreds of thousands of followers. There you go. There's on CBS Sports Network. They put up the picture of Mike and Frank the Tank sitting next to each other.
But I'm not retiring.
Yeah,
from that.
Right. I mean, he says he's retiring, but he's doing that for an extra tweak of the Yankee fan as well. Like it's like you guys, it's not even fun to hate on you anymore because you're just not good enough.
It's still fun.
Man, that Joe Kelly thing, it's like, wow. And then the fact that I didn't read the Sherman article. I got to read that now about how the Dodgers were like thrilled to play.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wonder what they thought about the Mets then, like when the Mets beat the Phillies. Like, I wonder what they were saying about that. Like, if they would have rather played the Mets than the Phillies or vice versa or the way the Mets were playing. The Mets were coming into that series like hot as hell. You know, so they must have been a little bit worried about the magical run that they were on.
I think so. And also, the Mets split the first two games out there.
Yeah.
You know, so the Mets really had an opportunity. Unfortunately for the Mets, game three was a dud.
Yes. Yeah. It was horrendous.
And that was the game, much like game three for the Yankees, where this is where you get your home fans involved. And you got to give them something to get involved with. And a couple home runs, you win the game. Now, all of a sudden, you're up 2-1. Now, you come back for game four, and a place is going to be an insane asylum.
Yeah, I mean, it really felt that way. I mean, that was demoralizing, that loss, because it was like, man, like you felt you were right there in the series. You're back home. You got three at home. It's just like everybody's into it. But still, the Dodgers earned it. There's no two ways about it. I mean, that team, regardless of what you want to say about how it was built or the money that they spent or whatever, that team, they were better than everybody else. Just were. And they're going to be a pain in the ass for a long time.
Well, they're only going to get better due in large part to their starting pitching.
You'd think. I mean,
they're going to have Ohtani on the mound now.
And Tyler Glass now, yeah. I mean, you never know how it works out, but you would think so. I mean, those two guys added to that rotation and what they were able to do, piecing it together this year.
It looks like Walker Buehler is now back, at least from, you know, double Tommy John surgery. And you got Flaherty now in the middle of that. And they'll add another four or five guys somehow.
Let's go to Mike, who's in Rockland. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing? Happy Friday.
Mikey, what's happening?
Hey, so, Boomer, I got a quick question for you, and then if you guys will allow, I have a follow-up. I was just wondering, who do you guys think has a longer-lasting legacy in New York, Aaron Judge or Precious Achiuwa, all things considered?
You know, I have my Precious Achiuwa card here in my hands right now.
Rookie card, yeah.
His rookie card, and I have to say that right now, I would tend to lean towards Aaron Judge.
Just lean just a little bit?
I'm leaning towards Aaron Judge, yes.
Close, Boomer. It's close. You got to admit.
There's much more upside with Precious. You know, much more upside. He's just getting his career started, you know?
And plus, he's a local guy.
Yeah. Indeed.
Exactly.
What else you got, Mike?
So real quick, and first of all, thank you so much for mentioning the $50,000 piece. That needed to be mentioned. But aside from that, for me, I feel like this is Steve Cohen's time to really, you know, excuse my French, put his nuts on the table here and go after Soto. I mean, you guys are talking about, you know, all the pitchers, Otani's going to be coming back. We cannot let him go to the Dodgers after all this. So this is the real big whale and real true free agent. You know, we had Yoshi last year. We had Otani last year. And Gio, you mentioned, all the pitchers coming back. And you also forgot the one guy, I think his name is May, with the long red hair for the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. He's also coming back. So, I mean, this is, for me, this is make or break time for Steve Cohen right here. Let me know what you guys think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've said this with other guys that have been out there. We said it last year with Yamamoto. Now, Yamamoto did get the biggest offer from Steve Cohen, and just he was competing against LA.
I just think you got to be really careful with these players because, you know, maybe Juan Soto in the back of his mind has a team that he wants to go play for, whether it be the Yankees or maybe it's the Dodgers. He's going to be playing these teams all against each other. And the Mets have got to know whether or not they have a real shot. You know what I mean? Like, do you really want to come play for us? Because if you do, then we'll get involved. But you know Boris is going to play this.
Anybody with money is going to have a real shot. And I really believe this. He is not going to take a penny less to play somewhere else. I just don't think that he spent all those years in Washington. He went out to the West Coast, went to the East Coast. I mean, he's been all around and he's played great in all of these stops. So I really think it's about making his history with his contract. That's the thing he cares about. And the Mets do have a shot because they have the owner that's going to go to that next level, and there's other owners that will as well, but Steve Cohen, I really think, is going to go all in on.
So that means if they do sign Soto, are they re-signing Pete Alonso, or is that ship sailed? Do you think they have part and parcel? Do they?
I really don't know what his... I don't want to cop out the answer, but I don't know what his market's going to be. I will say that if you can get Pete back on a 1 or 2 year deal, because no one else is offering up a long-term contract, and he's thinking, hell, man, like, give me another opportunity to be in a walk year and have a better season than I had, and I want to remain a Met, then I think Pete Alonso can exist in a world where the Mets have Juan Soto on their payroll. But there's no way that a 4-5-plus-year deal with Pete Alonso making big money is going to happen if they sign Juan Soto to an historic $600 million-plus contract. No.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Feel Good Football Friday. We've got Jerry Recco back. He's got some more stuff for us. What's up, Jerry?
Morning, brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. We've talked so much today about the incredible grab that Garrett Wilson made in the back of the end zone, the one-handed catch that was reviewed, and we almost forget about the other one-handed catch that went for a score.
Rodgers in the pocket, deep drop, he throws, it's snagged by Wilson, and he's going to take it in for the touchdown! Aaron Rodgers throwing to the left, to took a shot on the play. And Wilson does the rest for 21 yards. The Jets an extra point away from tying this one up on Halloween night.
And they did. Iron Eagle with the call on Westwood 1. Not only did they tie it up, they wound up winning the game 21-13. And you know it's your night, and the Jets haven't had many of them. You even had Al Michaels open up the broadcast on Amazon talking about it's Halloween. The Jets have seen this score. Ha, 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 ha. They've lost five in a row. Okay, fine. Then you've got the field goal to make it 14-13 for the Texans. But the Jets commit the penalty, gave him 15 yards, free first down. So after Fairbairn makes from 43 yards, the Jet defense stopped them. He would then line up from 27 yards out.
So this is a much shorter field goal for Fairbairn, 27 yards. Weeks to snap it, Townsend to hold it, snap, placement, kick on the right. No good! It bangs off the post!
So maybe, just maybe, things starting to turn for the Jets.
All right, so how about this? In the first half, I'm going to take it back to the Giant game. Remember when the Giant punter was punting and his plant leg got ran into and they didn't call a penalty?
Yeah.
Last night, the same thing happened with the Jets and the Houston Texans, and they did call the penalty against the Jets. And that was the first half was just a comedy of errors for both teams.
Yeah, I mean, that was a clear missed call and on the Giants, just like it was a clear missed call on Sam Darnold on the face mask, and there's going to be more of those, unfortunately, throughout the year. And there's certain things that they'll change with replay, and there's certain things that they don't.
And yet, Aaron Rodgers gets a touchdown pass to Garrett Wilson with his shin inbounds.
Yeah. I mean, think about all the things that went their way, aside from the kid dropping the ball at the 1 yard line. But other than that, everything went pretty good at the second half.
Second half?
Yes.
Yeah, the first half was.
That was what, the first play of the second quarter when he scored and dropped the ball? Does that sound right? I think so. Anyhow, here's Jeff Ulbrich, 21-13, the final. First win as head coach.
A really cool game for this team, man. After 3 weeks of a lot of adversity, a lot of setbacks, some self-imposed, for them to have the resiliency and to come back and played the way they did against a really good opponent. Was proud of them.
Yeah, the Texans now 6-3 with that loss. Here was Ulbrich. So what did you think of the Garrett Wilson catch?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I was talking to the ref when they were reviewing it. I'm like, just for the sake of posterity, you have to say that's in just so it goes down in history. It's, I mean, it would rival the Odell catch, you know? It was amazing.
How about that? Here's Davante Adams. Your thoughts?
I don't know. I told him he might get kicked from Adidas after that one. That one looked like he headed over to Jumpman with me. So we're going to see. I'm going to talk to some people about that one. But I ain't going to say they're going to replace the logo, but because I know Mike might not like me saying that, but That was a hard one.
It's like he hired the laughing track.
Yeah.
Ha, 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 ha. For the life of me, I cannot believe he's in bounds. But I'm glad he is, that's for sure.
And they got a win, and it's one that he said that the team knew had to have.
It's a huge win. If we want to do what we want to do, it had to start with one, and this is that one. So, you know, it's not as big as the next one because it's behind us now, but it's a big one to get us rolling, get us started.
And don't want to shortchange the defense. 8 sacks on C.J. Stroud last night, who only completed 11 passes on the evening. Here was Aaron Rodgers. How about them guys?
I mean, they stood on their head. They were incredible. Kept us in the game. Turnover down in plus territory. Held them to field goals. Incredible performance.
Incredible performance. Not an incredible performance for Houston. Here was Stroud. They really struggled.
I would say, you know, we just got to honestly just play football better. Execute better. Stop pointing the finger and realize, you know, at the end of the day, like, this is not winning football. And we can't keep squeezing our way by every game.
Well, the Jets.
Two games in a row where they played on the road. One at Lambeau and this one at MetLife where his numbers were just absolutely awful. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with the pressure that they're dealing with, the offensive line issues that they have now because of injuries. And how many guys got hurt last night? Like 5?
Probably.
At least 5, right?
Yeah, I wasn't tallying it down. I don't know.
Just
like you got a beat on it.
In Arizona next Sunday. This Sunday, the Giants face the Commanders at 1 p.m. Here's Brian Daboll. So Deontay Banks returning to the starting lineup.
I think he's we're in a good spot here. I think he'll be ready to go. Obviously, a tough challenge with 17 over there who's, you know, done a great job. But he'll have a good week here.
It is amazing when I see different words. All I think of are Eddie clips. So, like, earlier I had to, you know, what was the bionic penis thing? What was the...
Turns out.
Right. So I see turns out. That's what I think. Here I have Daboll. I wrote down, How hard is it being 2-6? And all I think of is Susan. How hard is it? That one, too. It's really funny. Here's Dable. How hard is it being 2-6 at this stage of the season?
You face things head on. Things you gotta fix. You be consistent. You don't want to have downs. You're going to have them. But you got to remain consistent in the leadership part of it.
And do the things you do to win.
Just from an X's and O's standpoint, just for a second, yep. Going back to that first clip where he's saying that Deontay Banks is going to play and he's in a good spot.
And Terry McLaurin's who he's going to have to deal with.
Right. So, like, is he basically saying he's going to be shadowing Terry McLaurin all game?
Make the case he's going to end up with McLaurin a lot of the game. If that's, I mean, he references 17.
Ooh, baby. So you play some daily fantasy football, you know, you throw in your lineup.
the thing about the Giants that is interesting is that, and here's a coach's problems. He's got a young man, Deontay Banks. They drafted him in the first round. They expect him to be this top corner. He's got an opportunity to make all this money. And yet the kid has had at least three different occasions where he has either been benched, he has been lazy, or he just doesn't get involved. And now the coach has got to deal with that on a daily basis. And the player has to deal with it because the fans see it. And the fans call him out on social media and they directly send it to him. You know, so the player is now dealing with all of this, you know, and due in large part to his own fault for having to deal with it. But it just goes to show you the things that coaches have to deal with on a daily basis. When players aren't playing the way they're supposed to play, or their confidence is down, or whatever the situation may be. But this young man has basically put himself now in the line of fire because of his performance. And it's sometimes it is performance-based, but when it really becomes based on a laziness or a lackadaisical play, then it becomes worse. And that's where he is right now.
On the flip side, you've got Jaden Daniels. They're out to a great start. Here he is loving life with the early season sex success. Early season success.
It's awesome to see just how everybody is happy, you know, that we're out there playing football. You know, we're out there competing, playing hard, and ultimately getting some wins.
Get some wins. I mean, the Reese's Penis Cup.
Reese's Penis Butter Cup.
And early season sex.
You say it fast.
Early season success.
Five times.
Early season success, early season success, early season success, early season success, early season success.
Show off. The 3-5 Bengals play the Raiders. They're 2-6. Here is Joe Burrow. We are what our record says we are.
I think you can say this shouldn't be where we are, but this is where we're at. You know, I don't think you can look at it like that. You got to adapt to the situation that presents itself, and this is the situation that we find ourselves in.
Got to go win games. That's what they have to do. The game of the week, probably the Lions and the Packers. You've got Matt LaFleur talking about this Lions defense they'll be facing.
Just all in all, I think it's a really physical defense that plays very aggressive, that's downhill. They do a great job of punching at the football.
And they were fantastic. They scored twice on defense, something like that last week. Here's Jared Goff. Let's go out and get it.
They're good at it. They're very ball aware. They're coached well. They know where the ball is at. They're going after it, and they're trying to make plays. And it's our job not to let them do that. And we've done a pretty good job with that up to this point. But this will be a big challenge for us.
And that's on the Packers defense. And also just because of because he was in Wisconsin and he's talking about a Packer and the way he speaks, this was Trump in Wisconsin introducing A.J. Dillon.
Also with us is another Green Bay football phenom, running back. You may know the name, Quadzilla, the quad father.
The quad
Quadzilla.
Father.
Quadzilla.
I never heard Quadzilla. I'm sure that's his nickname. I never heard that before.
Did you guys hear the new song that they mixed? Father. Remember the there was
Beyonce.
Yeah. But the first one was, they're eating the cats. They're eating the cats. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the dogs. Well, now it's the one, Dance Party with Beyonce. He's like, Joe Biden is asleep and Kamala's at a dance party with Beyonce.
Joe Biden is asleep. Kamala is at a dance party with Beyonce. 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 Dance party with Beyonce. Dance party with Beyonce. Dance party with Beyonce. Dance party with Beyonce. 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 Party with Beyonce. 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 Dance party with Beyonce. Dance party with Beyonce.
Is that it?
Dance party with Beyonce.
So who needs to be?
Like, who put that together? Not our guys here.
No. Oh, okay. Someone on TikTok who started it, now everybody's using something. It.
Oh, that's funny.
I hope they make money off it. Probably not, but yeah, it's out there.
I wish I had the creative mind like that.
I mean, there's just amazingly talented people out there. Man. Social media accentuates that. That's why I think TikTok's actually, even though it's owned by China, and they probably, some guy in China probably has my entire social security information, TikTok's become my favorite of all of these because, like, I don't post anything on there, so I don't have to deal with any comments or anything. And, like, oh, the videos, they're funny. Like, they're funny, talented people that are on there. So, anyway.
Don't know anything about TikTok.
Yeah, I didn't for a long time, but I'm in on it now. You know what? You would actually enjoy it, Jerry.
Well, especially if you're not going to post nothing or read anything. It's
right,
great.
Exactly.
The Knicks in Detroit tonight. Karl Anthony Towns sprained wrist, questionable for this game. The Nets play in Chicago. That game's on the Fan at 7:20. Rangers host the Senators, Islanders, and Buffalo Devils in Calgary.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. There's a game that people have been bringing up for this weekend, and no, it's not Giants Commanders, and obviously it's not any more World Series game since that is over, and it's not the Jet game because that was played last night. It's a high school football game, and I've been avoiding talking about it because I know that I'm on the wrong side of this one this particular year. Now, I could be wrong. I don't want to say that I'm completely abandoning my alma mater there in Bellport, but this East Islip team apparently moving up divisions is much better than what we're throwing out there this particular year.
Yeah, it goes in cycles.
It does go in cycles, and Richie in East Islip would like to talk about that. Hello, Richie.
Oh, it's a great cycle watching East Islip. Now, boom, you know, the number one team ranked on Long Island right now in large schools. So we may be, a Rutgers Cup may be coming our way for the first time in 40 years. So,
hey, Richie, it's less time than that. By the way, they won the Long Island Championship last year. So, I would just
Rutgers Cup is 83, I think, is the last time we won that.
Really?
Actually,
well, all right, yeah. But I would just say don't touch the money. I mean, look,
touch the money. They're going to win by 50, Boomer. What are you talking about? They're going to roll on this team, and you think that Gio isn't going to be anywhere near that field? He's going to be over at Stable watching his favorite team over there.
I'm not going to be at either one of those games. Yes. I gotta be honest.
Oh, are you going to be playing? Where are you going to be?
No. I'm not going to be playing golf either. I'm actually going to be. No, I'm not going to tell you where I'm going to be, Richie, but I'm not going to be at those games.
Can I ask you a question, Gio?
Yeah, of course, man.
Did Jerry beat you in score the other day, too? Or
no, we ended up playing. No, we ended up playing a scramble, and Jerry does beat me in score every time.
Yeah, Jerry's a good golfer. Yeah,
Jerry's been playing forever.
I didn't
forever.
Know that. He doesn't talk about how much he plays.
No, he's been playing for a very long time. He took a long break because of his back, and now he's back, and he's the one guy who's actually played more rounds than me this year because he joined a place in Jersey with his sons, and he plays, I think, 5 days a week. So, yeah, he's killing
good.
It right now.
All right, so just so remember this. I don't think the Bellport fans want you there. So, just make sure you stay over in Bougie Town.
You'd be like Fat Joe going to the Bellport game.
And another thing is, you had that terrible fire in Sable last week.
I know.
So, there's that looks like, they're moving along. They're trying to do some relocation for those businesses and stuff. But,
yeah, so there's Richie, it sucks. And a lot of people I know were involved. There's actually going to be a fundraiser for those businesses coming up next week on the 7th and November.
Don't those businesses have like fire insurance?
Some do, and then some others. There was like a vintage shop in there that there's really nothing that they, you know what I'm saying? Like there's stuff that's gone.
But I would
think
the buildings have got to be insured.
Yeah, I don't know about all this, to be honest with you, about their insurance situation. I just know that I don't think they're raising money to just take it and pocket it.
Yeah, I don't think they own the buildings. I'm sure the landlord owns the building. I would imagine he would have to have some sort of insurance in case of something like this happening so he can rebuild it.
Yeah.
Or they can rebuild it, whoever it is.
So 45 Foster Avenue, Thursday, November 7th, 6 to 9 p.m. But yeah, I was actually what was it, not this past, yeah, I think it was a week ago. Yeah, I guess it was a week ago now. It was Friday. And I just am driving down Montauk Highway. I see this massive cloud of black smoke. I'm like, holy crap. And then I get a bunch of pictures from friends. I mean, it was a five-alarm fire.
Wow.
that took out three buildings there. So just rough stuff.
Well, here's the deal. Just to give you some of the numbers about what we're going with or what we're dealing with tomorrow.
Yeah.
East Islip is 7-0. They've scored 281 points. They're averaging 40 points a game. Mm. Belport, a respectable 4-3. Mm. They scored 123 points. They're averaging 17.5 points per game. But here's the impressive part of what they're doing. They're only giving up 13.8 points a game. So I know that East Islip they ran into a little bit of trouble last week against the Northport team that was able to complete some short passes and things of that nature. But then they pulled away in the second half. But yeah, East Islip's on a roll right now. Sal Champy Jr.'s got him flying.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every single year he's got him flying. So
yeah, I mean, he's got a good team. He's got a good program. He's following in the footsteps of his dad, passed his dad in total games won as a high school coach.
Wow.
Which is saying a lot. And, you know, Sal's got this team, you know, humming right now.
Yeah, and this is, I believe, homecoming for Belport. So they'll throw everything they got at East Islip, and hopefully it's enough. But,
you know, there's a reason they play the game.
Yeah, I've heard that.
You never take anybody for granted. And I know that Sal will take last week's tape, and he will ingrain it into his players that these are the mistakes we made last week, and we cannot have that happen again on the road at Belport.
I can't believe I'm sitting here. It's like one of these surreal moments. I cannot believe I'm sitting here next to you breaking that down. We cannot let that happen on the road.
Don't let it happen.
At Belport.
I'm taking the uniforms back.
Yeah, you donated the uniforms this year, new uniforms this year. They look awesome. They really do. So yeah, we'll see how it goes. I you know, it's amazing because they were in Division III, which is smaller schools, enrollment,
yeah. Yep.
And they went up to Division II and somehow got better with the bigger enrollment.
Yeah, but you know, the population at these schools is so, like, from year in and year out, it's just, it's bouncing all over the place.
Yeah.
So.
Everybody's leaving. Leaving for Florida.
Carolinas. I mean, they're leaving, but then, you know, there's a lot of other people moving in. But I just, you know, the one thing I will say that is constant is that the expectations and the intensity of the football program at East Islip has not changed one bit from the day I left.
Yeah, you know, I can say the same thing for Belport for sure.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.